Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We're up to chapter 73 of the book Once Upon a Journey, volume 2 by Reb Zalman Ritterman. Today's chapter is called An Arrogant Demand. Devorah Leah was captivated by her mother's stories. She now understood that her grandfather, Reb Baruch Botlin, was a close follower of Rav Yehl, the Baal Shem of Zalmich. That was why Reb Baruch encouraged women to learn Torah, although it was very unusual in those days. His Rebbe the Baal Shem insisted that women and girls were capable of learning Torah and should do so in actuality. Devorah Leah had dozens of questions for her mother Rachel. She wanted to know as much as possible about both sides of her parents' families. That is how she discovered an important fact. Her father, Reb Zalman, was a direct descendant of the famous Maharal of Prague, Rav Yehuda Lowy. Devorah Leah was deeply impressed by her mother's descriptions of the Maharal's wondrous personality and his incredible achievements. She learned that at the young age of 7, he would debate matters of halacha with the greatest scholars in his city. He was only 10 when he became engaged to the daughter of one of the wealthiest Jews in Prague. His actual marriage, however, took place many years later. At age 12, the young Maharal left home to learn in an out-of-town yeshiva. From then until his marriage, he journeyed from one city to the next, learning in the most prominent yeshivas. He spent a number of years learning in the city of Krakow. "For the rest of his life," Rachel told her daughter, "the Maharal would describe the city of Krakow in glowing terms. It was filled with the learning of Torah. Its ordinary residents showed an outstanding love for Talmidei Chachamim. Even the butchers, water carriers, and woodchoppers of Krakow were fine scholars." The Maharal noticed that in the center of the busy city, there was an open area that didn't seem to be used for anything at all. It was surrounded by a wall of rocks, but there was no entrance to the area. What purpose could there be for such an obstacle in the center of a bustling city? The Maharal asked the residents of the city and was told the fascinating history behind this curious sight. Devorah Leah listened carefully as her mother told her a most amazing story. Around 650 years ago, a man named Rav Yitzchak was expelled from Germany along with the other Jews of that country. He settled next in the city of Krakow and was found to be a great Talmud Chacham, his wisdom far exceeding the other famous scholars of the city. In the year 5123, corresponding to 1363, the Jews of Krakow appointed him chief rabbi. At that time, Krakow belonged to one of the powerful princes of Poland. The prince hired a Jew by the name of Shlomo Seligman to manage his lands. Like the chief rabbi, Shlomo had also come to Poland from Germany. He also happened to be a kohen. Shlomo, however, abandoned the path of Torah and mitzvahs. He lived and acted no different than his non-Jewish friends. Eventually, he changed his last name, Seligman, to a similar-sounding Polish name, Sigmund. Now, nobody could identify that he was Jewish. It did not surprise anyone when one day Shlomo decided to marry a Jewish lady who was divorced. The Torah does not allow a kohen to marry a divorced woman. It is considered a severe sin. What did surprise the Jews of Krakow was that Shlomo insisted on having a proper Jewish marriage ceremony. Personally, he did not feel the need for a chuppah, but he desperately wanted to please his bride's wealthy family. He even insisted that the city's great Rav, Rav Yitzchak, personally perform the forbidden ceremony. Asking the Rav to be part of their sin was the height of chutzpah and showed everyone just how arrogant Sigmund truly was. Rav Yitzchak did his best to convince Shlomo to abandon his wild plan, but Shlomo refused to listen. He did not care that he was a kohen. He claimed that it was crazy and cruel that he was unable to marry whom he wanted just because he came from a family of kohanim. "Tell me, Rabbi," he challenged Rav Yitzchak, "why do I need all these old-fashioned rules? I am more than happy to give up my rights as a kohen. From now on, I'm no longer a kohen." Shlomo was extremely angry with Rav Yitzchak. who was stubborn and foolish and did not even try to understand why the Rav would not arrange his chuppah. The Rav, however, kept on trying to change Shlomo's mind. He explained to the wealthy manager that it is the duty of each Jew, and especially someone who was appointed Rav, to do whatever he can to save his fellow Jew from sinning. Shlomo told the Rav that if he refused to perform the marriage ceremony, he would simply travel with his bride to another city. Nobody there would know that he was a Kayin, and the Rav in that city would perform the marriage between him and the divorced woman without any problem. Rav Yitzchak now realized that there was no point in arguing any further with Shlomo. Instead, he invited the bride's family to a meeting in his office. There he explained to them that the bride and groom were about to commit a terrible sin against God. It would be a disaster for their children and grandchildren for all generations. Now, the bride's family were wealthy businessmen. They were delighted with the idea that they would soon be related to Solomon Sigmund, the powerful manager of the Polish prince. With Sigmund in their family, they would grow even richer. No, they decided, they were not concerned with what Hashem wanted. The marriage was simply a way to grow wealthier, and they were not going to allow an elderly rabbi to ruin such a golden opportunity. They told the Rav to find a heter, an exception to the rule forbidding a kohen to marry a divorcee. Rav Yitzchak realized that none of those involved were willing to listen, so he turned to the Jewish community. He announced from the Bima in Shul that the planned marriage of Solomon Sigmund to the divorcee was absolutely forbidden according to the Holy Torah. No one was allowed to help him or his bride's family arrange the wedding in any way, and no one was allowed to participate. If anyone was found supporting Sigmund, the Rav warned, that person would be placed in Cherem by the Rav himself. He would not be allowed into Shul, and no one in the Jewish community would be allowed to do business with him or even speak with him. This announcement caused an uproar in the city of Krakow, and soon it divided the Jewish community into two camps. Most of the community supported their esteemed Rav. However, the powerful relatives of the bride's family and some of their wealthy friends claimed that the Rav was being too strict. Sigmund was furious at the Rav and promised to take revenge. He thought of a plan to force the elderly Rav to perform the ceremony before the entire community. Sigmund turned to his employer and close friend, the Polish prince, and told him that the chief Rav of Krakow refused to allow him to marry the woman of his choice because of a small, unimportant detail of Jewish law. "Don't worry," the prince reassured his friend. "I will take care of this for you. Everything will work out perfectly fine." The prince sent for Rav Yitzchak and Lehavdil, the bishop of Krakow. When they arrived, he spoke to Rav Yitzchak angrily. "Why are you preventing two adults who wish to marry each other from doing so?" he asked accusingly. Rav Yitzchak patiently explained what it meant for a kohen and that according to the Torah, it was a serious sin for a kohen to marry someone who is divorced. "It is not I who refuses to permit this marriage," Rav Yitzchak concluded. "It is the laws of our ancient holy Torah." "Well," said the prince to the bishop, "is the Rav telling the truth?" The bishop deeply hated Jews. He was delighted at this chance to make trouble for them and to make their Rav look like a fool in front of the prince. "Yes," he replied with a sly smile. "It is true that the Jewish Bible does not allow a kohen to marry a divorcee. However, you must know, honorable prince, that from ancient times until now, the rabbis have the power to change the laws of their Torah as they see fit. They have added or deleted various laws over time. There is no reason why the esteemed rabbi of Krakow cannot do the same thing now. Just like thousands of rabbis have done in the past, he should find an exception to this rule and allow the couple to marry." "In this case," continued the bishop, "there is even more reason to ignore the Torah's rule. Sigmund completely left the ways of the Jewish religion years ago. If the rabbi truly wanted to help a good man marry the lady he has chosen as his wife, he could easily do so